Welcome back to another episode of Cayenne and Jay.
Happy Friday. Hope you had a nice week again.
Yep. Season two. Continuing off of last week's episode, where we spoke a lot about crazy fans and things that they have done, we wanted to continue it with this week's topic.
The psychology of fans. So, you know, delving deeper into what's going on in their brain. So fan groups, or as the more intense fans are known as stans, they'll go to any length to sort of show their devotion to a celebrity. And this culture can lead to everything from addictive tendencies to stalking behavior, according to research. And experts say such volatile behavior should be reevaluated.
The word stan actually comes from a very well-known Eminem song that has personally scarred me.
I'm glad I inspire you with stan. Why are you so mad? Try to understand that I do want you as a fan. I just don't want you to do some crazy shit.
It tells a story about a super fan of the rapper, and stan is a combination of stalker and fan. Yeah, that's how that came about.
And I feel like stans these days, they're a lot less creepy than the Eminem song. Like, anyone can be a stan, sort of.
Yeah, like, you can say, like, stan this, stan that. Like, I stan toothpaste. Like, stan toothpaste.
Yeah, it's not like the creepy Eminem version. It's just like, yep, that's just society now.
Yeah, it's essentially another way of saying that you really like something.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, listen to them and like their stuff. I think a really important thing that also comes up when we say stan is stan culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a engine running behind this individual's success.
Stan culture brings in this new thing called celebrity worship syndrome, and research by Dr. Randy and Dr. Laurie in Innovations in Clinical Neuroscience found that so-called celebrity worshippers might harbor concerns about body image, particularly in young adolescents, could be more prone to cosmetic surgery, and could also display narcissistic features, dissociation, addictive tendencies, stalking behavior, and compulsive buying. I see that. But it would be like, you know, people that change their face to look like Kylie Jenner or Dolly Parton.
Yeah, or like, remember that guy that got all the work done to look like Ken?
Yeah. And the one that got all the work done to look like Barbie.
Yeah, and then they like hated each other.
Yeah. What a sad time.
Just embrace it.
Honestly.
Anyways. So these studies actually revealed that those with intense celebrity worship levels were more likely to struggle with their mental health. Another doctor called Gail Stever actually said there's three types of celebrity worship syndromes to exist. So the first one, which is like, you know, your basic everyday fan kind of thing. So entertainment/social. So things that indicate this kind of celebrity worshipping are when a person would say, you know, talking with my friends about my favorite celebrity is a great time. I enjoy that.
Yeah. So just like normal fan behavior.
Yeah.
You like their music. Move on. There's also the next step is intense or personal. This is the next step, and usually things like my favorite celebrity is my soulmate, and if my favorite celebrity were to die, I wouldn't want to live, are said seriously. This is where celebrity worship becomes concerning.
And then there's a step up from that.
Mm.
So this one is called borderline pathological, and basically this is the most extreme level, and it's somebody that would say if their favorite celebrity asked them to do something illegal, they would 100% do it. No questions asked. Because they will basically become a robot to that individual.
Mm. It's crazy how much control a celebrity has over people like this. Whereas, like, you could easily use that for evil.
Yeah, and there was this quote that I saw. I don't actually know who the author was, but I just remember people were commenting it, saying that people say that fans have a lot of power, but they don't realize how much power celebrities have over the fans.
Yeah. Even just like Kanye, I feel like he sort of changed his fan base to believe certain things.
Oh shit, yeah, he's got a cult-like following.
Mm.
And I think because we've mentioned celebrity worship syndrome, maybe we should get into what it is.
Yeah. So it's a type of parasocial relationship that occurs when admiration of a celebrity shifts into an obsessive fascination and preoccupation. Rhyming.
Okay, Dr. Seuss.
It's been described as an obsessive addictive disorder. And like all parasocial relationships, celebrity worship syndrome is considered a one-sided, non-reciprocal relationship. But I feel like people that have this feel like they're in a relationship, but they're not.
Yeah, so it's like a deluded situation. So it involves one person who is investing a lot of time and energy into a connection with a celebrity who doesn't even know that they exist. So great fun. Parasocial integrations and relationships aren't uncommon and aren't always negative. So connections you feel towards celebrities or even fictional characters can bring positive lessons in life.
Yeah, there's so many celebrities I look up to.
Yeah, but celebrity worship syndrome is more than a parasocial relationship. It's a pattern of behaviours that are often obsessive, compulsive and addictive.
Yeah, like in the last episode when that guy was just watching Christina Grimmie's videos all day, every day.
And even like changed his appearance for her.
Yeah, weird. So why does celebrity worship occur? There's actually no direct cause of celebrity worship syndrome, but if someone already has a mental health condition or obsessive personality, they're at a higher risk of getting celebrity worship syndrome. And basically, you have a higher chance of developing the tendencies if you're like anxious or you're materialistic, low self-esteem, minimal religious orientation, if you're narcissistic, everything. Depression, anxiety. I feel like this is covering everyone. Everyone could have it.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Basically, yeah. It's just like, you know, everybody could have it, but here's like a, let's make myself sound professional. This is actually from a credible source, so.
Yeah.
A scientist, it was there, like, we got it from their thesis. So according to a 2018 study, other factors that may increase your chances of developing celebrity worship syndrome include daydreaming about the celebrity, having a strong desire to be famous, and compulsive behaviours such as obsessive internet use.
Have you ever daydreamed about a celebrity?
Not really. I mean, like, I've been like, oh, I wonder what it would be like to meet them. But that's, I've not been like, oh, yes, the celebrity.
What would it be like to touch them?
Yuck. We've spoken about, like, what celebrity worship is. And now we should talk about what does it look like? So that way then you can walk around in real life and clock people for having it. Be like, yeah. Clock them. So celebrity worship syndrome, as discussed earlier, exists in various ways and intensities. So, you know, they can be mild in some cases. For example, you may name your firstborn child after your celebrity. Maybe that's a little bit higher, but... or change the way you dress. I feel like that one is more common to the lower side. So changing the way you dress and like the way you act, maybe,
yeah,
based on your favorite celebrity. And it can get to more extreme levels. So like the obsessive addictive properties of celebrity worship can also present in intense ways, like having cosmetic surgery to look like your favorite celebrity, harassment, stalking, or otherwise inappropriate attempts at interaction can also be a display of celebrity worship. And it's extreme.
There's a lot of consequences if you do have celebrity worship syndrome. I mean, it doesn't always turn your life upside down, but it does have the, you know, potential to impact your life, especially relationships. If you're thinking you're in a relationship with someone, probably not going to give you all to, you know, your actual relationships with your friends and your family and stuff. Also, they're probably going to start worrying about you.
Yeah, like...
They'll be like, this isn't real.
And also, like, you know, you may start to, like, skip events. You may be like, oh, no, I'm not going out this weekend because I'm going to go watch this celebrity get on live, or I'm gonna go watch their performance. Although performance, I feel like it's okay, but everything else is kind of skipping everything to just sit inside and binge their stuff, like that guy with Christina Grimmie. A little bit weird.
You might unfairly compare your romantic partners to celebrity ideals, or ignore your partner in favor of a perceived celebrity connection. Imagine ditching your partner because you saw like your celebrity crush and you're just like, see ya.
And they're just like, who are you? Also, in the business world, you may not be open to certain opportunities if they don't feel aligned with your favorite celebrity's supports or representation. So it's things like, let's say if your celebrity endorses this one brand, you're not going to go work for their competitor.
No.
That's like, because I've got to be loyal to them. Girl, they don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
So not only can celebrity worship syndrome affect that, it can also affect your personal well-being, which I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory, but... You know, it can be a manifestation of obsessive or addictive disorders driving you towards harmful behaviors related to a celebrity, such as harassment. You also might go through unnecessary medical procedures, as we've mentioned quite a few times, or harsh treatments. And you also, it could be affecting your self-esteem because you're constantly comparing yourself to your favorite celebrity. And you can talk yourself down, be overcritical, etc., etc. And also, you can follow product endorsements and things like that that don't make sense for you. And you could even end up in financial distress because, like, you know, and just buying everything that they endorse.
Yeah, I always think that about the Kardashians because they can promote something and then, like, everyone will buy it. It's like, how many of those people actually need that? I don't think many people need it. So there are positive consequences. Having a parasocial relationship with a celebrity doesn't mean that you will develop negative behaviors or lose relationships. Some relationships can motivate you, help you learn healthy habits, and encourage positive lifestyle changes. So yeah, it's not all bad, you know, just contain it. Contain the crazy.
When we talk about stan culture and celebrity worship, we can't not mention K-pop. And this is for the specific reason that the K-pop industry, especially the music industry does as a whole, but the K-pop industry is really honed in on exploiting that.
Yeah, I feel like they are like the main person or thing people think of when they think of celebrity worshippers.
Or crazy fans.
Yeah, because like some of the stuff that fans have done, anyway, it's crazy.
But within the K-pop industry, right, there's entertainment companies that kind of run it all, but they've made this structure where you kind of form, it's like forcefully formed this special relationship between the idol and their fandom. And it's like, they don't really know each other in real life either. But basically the structure is building of exposure, the physical attraction, the task of attraction. So like voting, streaming, etc. And then social attraction. So that's like, you know, their Instagram lives, them doing meet and greets and stuff like that. And they all contribute to increasing this unhealthy relationship.
I feel like I have voted on things that like artists have put up. They're like, oh, go and vote for me in the music awards. I'm like, okay, like I'm not crazy.
Well, no, because you can still do that and not be crazy. Like that's like what we were saying is like you're not classed as crazy if you just do like one of these things, but it's if when it becomes unhealthy and when it becomes excessive is when it's too much. Like I thoroughly enjoy music. I would like to say it's probably something that I am a little bit obsessed with. However, I don't think it's unhealthy because I'm not missing things and stuff like that to do it. And I sound like I'm trying to convince myself that I don't have it.
Well, the exposure of personal moments and struggles of idols for all fans to see feeds into the feelings of love and understanding towards them, which then leads to the social interactions fans constantly crave. So I guess that's like stories, keeping up to date with their life and stuff. You feel more personal. And as a result, this special bond leads to the establishment of parasocial relationships. Because you think you know them. You're like, I know what they had for lunch.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, this person's favorite color is blue. Their mum's name's this. Their dad's name's that. Their dog's name's that. Some people could like tell you what year they're born, where they were born, what they do for a job, like what car they drive, what how. It's actually scary. So the K-pop industry, however, wasn't really like this. It was very different. They, rather than seeing them as, you know, how we do today, they were seen as not human. They're seen as like entities. So this was during the Hallyu wave. So they, things like idols didn't poo. Idols like didn't sleep. They didn't get in relationships. They didn't, you know, things like that. They didn't go to the bathroom because they didn't need to because they were perfect. That's, it was all about being perfect. And it was this mysterious kind of like, you knew nothing about them, but all you knew was what they looked like and the music.
True. So what changed?
It did a complete 180.
Yeah. Now they're like the most crazy fan base out there.
And all idols, shit.
So fast forwarding to today's generation of idols, companies began to shift with social media, I'm assuming, because they could use that media to their advantage now. Whereas before, I guess they didn't really have that. So it was mainly just a normal relationship sort of thing. And now they can just flood everyone's social media with this stuff. And also finding information on people is so easy now, especially famous people.
These entertainment companies capitalize heavily, emphasis on heavily, on the parasocial relationship that they have enabled. When they manufacture these idols, because they don't just pick somebody random off the street and be like, yep, you're going to release music tomorrow. They train them for like 7 years, teach them everything. They also establish this sense of loyalty in fans by manufacturing this idol and basically controlling and making them interact with everybody and form this relationship, because then the fans become like a cult loyalty and they will like ensure that they're going to sell, ensure that they're going to get on the charts and stuff like that.
So this continuous outpour of idol content, ranging from various comebacks in a year to concert footage now that people could see, of variety shows and more, they all factor into building the structure of a parasocial relationship. The consequence of marketing idols as a commodity enables fans to cross boundaries that are meant to protect both parties, and then the relationship becomes sort of hazy. And companies, they're selling content where idols are candid and normal, and fans are investing in that because it makes them feel closer. They're smart, these companies.
Oh, very smart, but not good for the mental health of people.
No.
These companies have taken it a step further, of course, and created these subscription-based apps. So there's got things like Bubble, where you pay a weekly fee to then communicate with the artist. They've also got Weverse, Mnet. And there's probably more, but yeah, it allows them to send personalized messages in, like, with the brackets, personalized messages. They're 100% pre-manufactured.
Oh yeah, there's no way they're actually doing them.
To each individual fan, there's thousands.
Yeah.
But it gives that impression that they're actually texting each other.
It's interesting though, because even when, like, the fans are aware that it's not really them talking back to them, because it's done to remain loyal, like with the subscription. So it's like, if you don't pay, you're not going to get anything again. They still find themselves engaging with the content, resulting in a connection that further strengthens the parasocial relationship.
And the more time spent consuming content, the deeper the attachment can become. And the constant influx of content available to the fans hasn't given them a chance to step away and touch grass. Instead, it's created a space for them to step into this borderline pathological stage, forming a different kind of a fan. And this word specifically is specific to K-pop, sassing.
So sassings are a byproduct of fans' inability to control their intense emotions and slip into that overly obsessive persona, but, you know, more intense. They're delulu.
Yeah.
Deluding themselves into thinking that they've invested time and money and they have the right to pry into the life of idols. Know your place, you know?
Right. I mean, like, they've kind of always been an issue as long as K-pop's been around. Mm. And there's been some real bad ones where they've, like, actually caused people to no longer live. But that hasn't stopped them from seeking out idols in their dorms. So sassangs go to their dorms. There's a group called NCT that was recently in America. A really famous, infamous sassang of theirs actually went and broke into their hotel room and was, like, videoing it, showing, like, their suitcases and, like, their clothes and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
It was actually really scary. They also, like, mob them in the airports, stalk them during official and unofficial schedules, so, like, following them overseas. They also resort to these borderline criminal acts, such as the breaking into the hotel room, because they have this desire to get recognized by their idols and stand out against the others in the fandom, because they actually care so much that they will go. But I don't think that's caring. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't. If I was the celebrity and somebody that, I'd be like, you do not care about me. That is scary.
Yeah. And wouldn't you want to be known for something a little bit less creepy?
Yeah, like doing good. Yeah. Helping out, like,
yeah,
running,
yeah,
a really good thing.
Yeah. Having a good donut shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the biggest issues surrounding sussing is their possessive behavior with idols and the need to control every part of the idol's life, even though they've literally have nothing to do with the idol.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to concerns of the love life of idols. Creepy. When an idol's dating life is exposed in the media, these sussangs trend hashtags wanting them to leave their groups and turn to be aggressive online to them, to the point they're forced to write apology letters to their fans.
Yeah, it's like a big thing in K-pop that people don't date, and if they, like, get caught dating, it's a massive scandal, and it's like people unstand them. They're like, I'm no longer listening to that group, and they send, there's like people that have sent like trucks to companies telling them to, like, kick the idol out.
Oh my God.
It's actually crazy. Like, you would think if you care about your celebrity, wouldn't you want them to be happy and in a healthy relationship?
No. Absolutely
they
not.
They have to love me.
Me and only me.
It's like there's this massive rumor that Jennie from Blackpink and V from BTS, and they're both, like, the most popular members of each group, that they were dating, right? And there was, like, these sussangs that followed them while they were in Paris, mind you. So, again, overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Followed them while they were on a date and took videos and ran and hid in bushes and stuff like that to get videos of them on a date when they were just holding hands and walking. But they found out exactly who they were because they saw them leave and they saw all the people with them, and there was so much that got leaked. And then there was this sussing that hacked into Jennie's iCloud and got all of her photos and exposed them of them on dates, them, like, cuddling on a couch or them being in a makeup chair or something like that. Like, really scary stuff.
That's insane.
And that's just one example. That's a very popular example because it's only like the last 6 to 12 months that's been happening.
Why do people care so much?
I think the thing that's really scary though is this K-pop stan culture or celebrity worship syndrome, very common. And I think the issue is because K-pop appeals to a young audience because they've got some groups that do like the really like happy-go-lucky cutesy thing, which appeals to a younger child, which then they get roped into the whole culture and they don't know any better.
No.
So they basically grow up thinking that that behavior is okay.
Yeah, and then it probably develops all of their other mental things and that goes along with it and it all comes together.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, great fun.
Oh my God.
So that's all about celebrity worship syndrome, parasocial relationships, sasangs, and stan culture.
Now you know. You're more edumacated.
Yeah. We haven't touched on absolutely everything. We could talk on this subject for hours. Something needs to change in the music industry, and I'm going to say that like a broken record. Because it's not fair that they're preying on people. Like the artist and the fan are both being preyed on by the industry. It's using their mental health against them.
Something needs to change.
Yeah.
I'll join you on that broken record.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Kyan and Jay.
See you next week. We hope you have a fun time doing stuff.
Cheers, Goa.
Yeah.
Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media, Kyan Jade Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, Kyan and Jade Podcast on TikTok and Twitter. We'll see you next week, Friday, 10 a.m.
Bye.
Bye.